Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Guys, I told you I have to empty my kitchen because the exterminator's coming in the morning. My life, I'm very stressed. Boys here, the internet's number one cult classic podcast is back with more of what you need to survive. I am a creepy jester who you will be arrested for trying to kidnap, Peter O'Donohue, and I am joined by...
I'm Ethan. I need half a Red Bull sitting in Peter's car to survive a desert island.
I'm James. Dogma balls.
That is a pretty good one, actually. That's a there's your first looser title, guys. I hope you guessed it. on the subject of things patrons can do, today's episode on Dragon's Dogma was requested by Discord server Snitch, David, last name withheld, and backed up by regular guy Bleak Victory 115. No new patrons at time of recording, though it do be Christmas time. So God willing, you're spending that $3 on friends or family.
Yeah.
Come 2024, though, you got to pony up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Enough of this free ride bullshit. Season of Giving's done with in 2024.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a season of profits and capitalism.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 2024 is the year that the boys sell out. Oh, I can't wait for us to talk about AG1.
Raid Shadow Legends.
Yeah, exactly. That razor that snags your balls, despite the fact its marketing gimmick is the fact it doesn't snag your balls.
Blue Chew, keep your boner audio hard.
Oh, yeah. Now that your dick's all smooth and shaved and it don't work no more, have we got a product for you, dude? And also that underwear with the kangaroo pouch in it.
All right. Now we're actually just advertising.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm not saying friends.
It's kind of lost me. I don't know what we're talking about anymore. So,
So yeah, the Dragon's Dogma timing is pretty good as the game was on sale recently on PC. And Dragon's Dogma 2 got a March something 2024 release date, obviously when we're in our capitalism era. It got a trailer and a decent amount of hype. The game has had a pretty long and reliable lifespan. Since it launched in 2012, I believe, it has sold 8 million copies, which, as a whole, really good. And it's really cool. Again, I don't want to jack off a corporation here. I think Capcom does a lot of good work.
I'd like Capcom, to see you try a whole corporation.
They're people.
Yeah, we'll see. there's a lot of people who could be jacked or jailed off in the halls at Capcom. Anyway, crunch at us if you want to try that.
Capcom.
The whole Capcom Renaissance has been really good, and it's been going on for years. Like, one of the first games I remember people being like, oh yeah, after all those weird Resident Evil games, like, they're back, baby, was like Monster Hunter World, which was, I think, like in 2015 or something. And it's really cool for them to just be like, you know what? 8 million over 12 years is enough. Dragon's Dogma gets a fucking sequel, baby.
Hell
and
yeah.
Which is like such a cool way to do business. So now that the second one's coming out, I have a decent amount of hype for it. Capcom's game engine is fucking incredible. It will run on a TI-86 fucking calculator. Like, you could run the Resident Evil Remake or Monster Hunter World on that thing. It's unbelievably scalable, so I have no doubt this game is going to be a technical marvel. Have you guys played the
you just
first
said
Dragon's
the,
Dogma?
You just said the Dragon game is scalable.
I got Dragons on my mind.
Yeah. I bought the first one at your recommendation recently while it was on sale, but I've not played either. Or I couldn't have played the second one.
Yeah, I feel like, did we talk about it on a bonus episode or something? I feel like we've talked about this recently.
When I was playing,
I played the first one a little bit up to, I mean, I played through like the beginning, the entry fight against the Chimera, like probably 8 times. I got further than that for sure, but I don't remember too much of it. It was friend of the show Bobby who owned it, so we would go to his place and I would start a new character basically every time.
At that place, they just posted a picture of me in our other chat wearing his chainmail and his helmet, yeah, and his spear and shield. I'll put that into Prime
episode picks or episode whatever
picks. Yeah. So you guys can see a young beardless Jamie. What Bobby calls me at level one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember thinking that chainmail coif was so heavy. I like couldn't believe it. And that was at the same party at that place near my high school or my old high school where my buddy Mikey got so high on mushrooms that he sat in a corner on a futon mattress with no frame and stacked a bunch of VHS tapes around him as a fortress because it made him feel safe.
Yeah, that's funny.
It was Wisse, right?
It is Wisse. It's just to avoid explaining that is the Mohawk version of Michael. He generally goes as Michael or Mikey.
I've never been referred to as Mike or Mikey yet. Like, super tangent.
Have you met his brother?
No, I haven't.
His brother calls him Mikey, yeah.
I met him through you and Oren was there that night too.
Yeah.
And I so distinctly remember that too, just building like the little, he built himself a little castle of DVDs to hide behind while he was just super stoned on mushrooms.
Yeah.
Years and years and years later, I go to this show, I think it was after the burial, and I'm there and a friend of mine is there with Will Gray, who's also a mutual friend, who like introduced me. He's like, "Hey, here's my friend Wisse." I'm like, "Don't I know you from somewhere?" He's like, "No, I don't think so, man." And like took me all night. But then right at the end of the night, I was like, "Oh, you got super stoned on mushrooms at a party in St. Anne's at my friend's place and built a little castle for yourself out of DVDs." He's like, "I don't remember that." So I'm really glad, Pete, you're corroborating my story right now.
No, it absolutely happened. And it was hard to miss because Wisse is one of the biggest guys I've ever met. Yeah. Like he's like 250 easy, maybe more. And like 6'2". Like he's a giant man, right?
He and I in like 2011, 2012 both wore the same chainmail and we wouldn't get to know each other for another 5 years or so.
Right? Yeah, when you went to a different party in a house I would eventually live in. Like we were destined to be together eventually, dude. Like
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I myself played the game back in 2012, 2013 when it was new. I played on PS3. I didn't really understand it at the time. I was a less powerful gamer, but recently bought it on Steam or bought on GOG for $6 Canadian. And I finally beat the main quest of the base game and like really, really had a great time with it. Combat's great. And I got really into a lot of the kind of like stylistic choices of it that we'll get into more in the episode. I really like we talked about this, I think during the Chinese myth episode, of like that flat old timey art. Like before man had invented perspective.
Before Leonardo da Vinci invented perspective.
Exactly. our third dimension.
No one had an opinion until then. Yeah.
Well, it was illegal. The Pope would get you.
True.
Right. All the tapestries, all the in-game loading screens are all done in that kind of like scrimshaw looking woodcut art of European medieval times, which I thought was very cool. One of the very nice touches that I want to talk about here, kind of before we get into the dog barking at the cat on the air conditioner.
Sorry, yeah, the cat is slowly knocking my fishing equipment off of the air conditioner because I have a pile of things here. And the dog is...
Jamie's reporting from a trading post.
My fishing gear on top of my air conditioner, naturally. Yeah, naturally.
I had to gut my kitchen today because I have...
Oh, right, yes.
Oh, there it goes. She knocked it off, and Ice is mad.
For Christmas, I am getting Pete some poultry shears, and I'm getting Jamie like an IKEA, like the cubby shelves, you know, just like all the shelves in the world that you could ever have.
Yeah.
Nice.
They're just going to be full of White Claw. Like, he's not going to use them.
Yeah. White Claw's an old lost to debit card.
And like, and like T4s that the Canadian government sent them in 2010.
I found a debit card in my bottom cupboards when I was cleaning them out.
Is it 67? Was it a recent one, or is it like mid... Mid-century.
It was one of the temp ones, so probably the thing had arrived and I had just given up on it.
Oh, gosh.
And then the cat is also, Isis is very happy about it because the cat will knock her whole bowl of food off of the counter onto the ground and then the dog gets the scraps.
Nothing a dog loves more than fucking cat food, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, sorry.
No, sorry, it's all good.
My dog is on guard for cat activity and I don't prevent that because the cat really needs to be told what's what.
Yeah, she needs some discipline.
Yeah.
One of the cool little stylistic choices I noticed in Dragon's Dogma, you guys can open the first spoiler image there, is that when you kill enemies in Dragon's Dogma, they will kind of melt into... I did these images individually. If they're out of order, I'm going to blow my brains out. Right? It should be an elephant skull.
It is an elephant skull.
It is.
Okay, good.
The big cyclopean eye.
Yes. It looks like someone drew the second one.
I added that in MS Paint just for reference. So when, to save memory, games will have bodies disappear or melt into different things. In Dragon's Dogma, the memory saving trick is to have enemies melt into kind of a goopy, bloody skeleton, right?
Okay.
Takes up less memory than the entire model just sitting there the entire time. Right. What's really cool is that the Cyclops, when you kill one in Dragon's Dogma, when it melts, just has a regular elephant skull sitting there.
That's real life lore.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So I had heard or read something eons ago that the myth of the Cyclops comes from people speculating on what could have left behind a massive skull with a big hole in the front of it. And this is, of course, due to the fact that soft tissue doesn't preserve very well. It's very difficult, right? Especially like a modern animal like an elephant. If someone found its bones, like the first thing hyenas would have peeled off that fucking thing would be the trunk, right? It's boneless wings from like tip to forehead, right? The whole way up. Yeah, so I just thought it was a really cool detail to like look into the origin of the myth as a way to design the monster's skeleton. Is just like a detail like some dumb paleo nerd is going to notice, and not like a regular guy replaying the intro at Bobby's place 9 times, right?
Remember that? It just reminded me. Do you remember that German unicorn thing that they thought, like,
the
Germans,
walrus or something?
They found like
it together backwards or whatever.
I just posted it. This just came up on another episode, but it's just like a lizard's head with no torso, straight onto hips, some legs, tail, and like the most perfect
long legs with like thick, huge femurs.
Okay. Yeah. I'll put it
it's
up
like most like a of a head, rhino, I right?
I don't know what it actually is, but if you
a rhino's horn doesn't fossilize, right? Like it's not a bone,
it's made
hair,
of hair. Yeah. Hair.
Oh, it's It has a funny name. I forget what they call it. But if you just look up like German dinosaur fake skeleton or something, it'll come up. Yeah.
So I only finished the base game recently. The DLC level recommendation, which I Googled, was like 100, and you finish the main game doing like some side quests and all the main quests, obviously, and getting all that stuff done, completing challenges. I'm at like level 50, like between 50 and 60, and like I fought a couple of the bosses in the DLC and did zero visible damage to them, and I just have other games to play. I'm not gonna grind. I ended up in New Game Plus by accident. I don't want to beat the entire fucking game to get back to the dungeon, and I'm like, this game rocks, but I'm gonna miss out on this one. For this episode, maybe in the years to come, I'll get through. What's it called? Dark Arisen is the name of the DLC. Yeah,
I hate the grind. I hate that in video games. Just let me play the game.
Yeah, or just like lowball what someone at the end game would be level wise, and put them in the dungeon. Like that's it, dude. Like, don't make me beat the game fucking twice. It's 8 out of 10, fantastic all the way through. Don't make me do it fucking twice. Is it?
Yeah.
And then especially now I'm like very much balls deep back into the System Shock remake. I found my old journal notes when I had to keep a paper log of a remake of a game from 30 years ago. So I'm back in there and almost done. So anyway, the base game of Dragon's Dogma, and there will be spoilers coming up here. I'm sorry to say it's an older game and a lot of the interesting stuff does happen within it, so I kind of had to do this, but you've had 11 years and the sequel's coming out next year, so hopefully this
is your primer for Dragon's Dogma 2.
Exactly. You don't need to spend the $6 Canadian to figure this all out yourself. The base game is set in the Duchy of Grancis, located on the Leogrin Peninsula. You guys can open up the landscape shot there and take a look for yourselves. It'll be available for patrons as well later this week.
Very medieval fantasy, right?
Yeah, it's a very normal
tower, or castle.
Very, very normal looking fantasy setting. There's essentially no fantastical flourish in the landscape whatsoever. There's like a healing fountain, but it's kind of like normal, kind of misty looking water. Even this giant like figure carved into the side of a mountain kind of down to the chalk is based off a real thing that I believe is in London. You guys can Google the hill figure Knoll and take a look at this kind of very primitive, like Neolithic art that is that exists like in the real world. It's like something cave people in the UK were capable of doing, basically. It's still soccer.
It's still not like it's not fantastical as in it's not magic, but it's still pretty fantastic. Like it, huge like mountain ranges that are very, very impressive, and then like a very giant castle with multiple wings and huge walls and these like sweeping hills, and it'd be a very nice place to be even without magic. But
yeah, but if you look at a low fantasy setting like Dark Souls or something, there is no, you know, massive tree holding up the world, or like thank God there's no poisonous swamp or like a crystal castle or anything like that.
It's, or a dragon skeleton.
I don't know if I would call Dark Souls low fantasy for that exact reason. It's like it's dark fantasy. I'll give you that. It's all like grim and bleak. But
yeah, I
got a tree that holds up the world and like a dragon that swallows you to go find the fire that he started the world.
To be fair, I don't really know what high fantasy and low fantasy, what the division would be, but it's just like medieval castle, below the medieval castle, big tree. Medieval castle here, below the medieval castle, a dungeon with skelly man in it, with the skeleton. And that's about it.
There you go.
So it is on the Leogrin Peninsula and is apparent. I read this like 3 days ago when I started this script. Could not fucking find the source ever again. So this is going to be Lore Boys canon, baby. Grancis is based on Southern Italy. Don't know where I got that information. Could have dreamt it when we got back from that party and I went to bed at 11 o'clock. Like,
looks like Northern Italy, if anything, with all these mountains, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't look like the bottom of a boot.
Well, not from this angle. If you got higher up, it could be boot-like.
Okay.
It's a peninsula, so it is only barely attached to the mainland. So it's, for our geography lesson for this episode, an atoll is a ring-shaped island, which we learned about in Godzilla. Mm-hmm. And now we find out what a peninsula is.
There's a whole part of Africa that's separating from Africa because tectonic plates are moving. Did you know that?
Yeah, like the Great Rift Valley or something like that. It's like tearing apart. Yeah.
Yeah. I just learned that this week. I didn't know. I guess things... I thought that was like too big of a scale for us to really notice, but I guess... Yeah.
What do you mean by notice? Are we noticing it, or
in our lifetime? Like,
are the people there noticing, or will the people there notice it?
No, you can see the divide in the ground. Like, I've seen. I think it's called the Great Rift Valley. If you want to Google it now, it's fucking crazy.
There's a whole big water. Yeah, there's water that separates like a whole chunk of Africa.
Yeah, it's like all falling. It's all pouring in now.
But I mean, like, if you had your Google's giving you like. Slideshows now?
I wonder if it was in our lifetime, though, like, that this happened. Or it's just that I'm only becoming aware of it now.
Yeah, it's just like, is it like a 1 centimeter a year kind of thing? You know, and it'll have moved a foot in 30 years? In which, that's what I mean by noticing.
I've never been to Africa.
Do scientists notice it? Because that's like, oh yeah, okay, yes. Scientists can notice a lot of stuff. Or are you saying, like, the people living there are like, yeah, when I was a kid, that tree was over here, was right here.
That's it! You know? I imagine the second one because it's more entertaining, but I've never been to Africa. I've never been a scientist. I'm not sure.
This fucking countryside looks beautiful. Let's go to Kenya.
Hell yeah.
I think the Rift Valley is like a geological marvel that is able to be studied actively because of the speed at which it is tearing apart.
You're tearing apart, Lisa. I got you.
Exactly. Yeah.
I got a quiz question today, and I didn't get it right away, but now you already have the first one. Can you name three countries that start with K?
Kenya, Kazakhstan, and...
Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan.
There you go. I went Korea, but that's another one.
That's a good one, too.
S-N? There's two.
Yeah, you just Korea North, Korea South? Okay. Yeah. You have to say South before it, so it doesn't count, you think?
Yeah.
I would guess.
I think Korea counts. Yeah.
With a counts. K.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Gotta be the other ones, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know.
But
anyway.
How many places in South Italy start with K? Or with Francis? What is this?
G. They're in the same little section of the alphabet there.
But we're in the Lion Ogren Peninsula.
The Leogrin Peninsula.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So the first recorded ruler of Grancis was God King Leonart, the Great Unifier. He is also inferred to be the first Dragon Slayer and therefore the first Arisen. So we are going to get into obviously both those things shortly.
And maybe what a Dark Arisen be, huh?
Yeah.
We won't, because I didn't play it. Therefore, I could not speculate based on my own gameplay. I mean, I can infer what happened with the Dark Arisen, so we can cover
it. It's probably an evil one, if I had to guess.
Yeah, it's probably. Like an evil dragonborn, that's what I'll say. But we could probably get into what an Arisen
is. Mithraq before Mithraq. Fuck. Todd, you did it again. You stole from a Japanese game you thought no one would play. So, people appear to be the only humanoid race on the peninsula. There are no elves, dwarves, or hobbits, or any analog for any of these. You want to call them fey and whatever, groundkin or some shit, whatever. Sure. The sequel, I think, is adding cat people, which even then is very much within the very safe fantasy setting that, frankly, these very good games take place in.
Kitschied housewares if you have coin.
Precisely, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a real testament to how fun the gameplay loop is, because the excellent fucking combat is basically just only used to fight like the pre-installed by Best Buy on your grandma's laptop D&D monsters. You've got dragon, goblin, mm-hmm. hobgoblin, troll, cyclops, griffin, slime. Hobgriffin, beholder, but...
Oh, you had a beholder? That's cool.
This is the thing.
That's interesting, because that's proprietary. Like, Wizards owns Beholder, right? So they must call
Thank
it something
you.
Else.
Yeah. I fucking left a note in my script to check with you. In-game, it is called an evil eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wizards of the Coast owns Beholder as a term.
Interesting. Yeah, the Beholders in this one have the eye inside the mouth, and it can pop out on, like, an eye stalk and shoot lasers and shit at you. So
close enough.
Very hard, very cool. I fought one and beat it, and then the second one I fought, I did no visible damage to, so I was like, I'm underleveled, I gotta come back here. underneath the, like, whatever, like, it came with the place, but we haven't gotten rid of its setting. It's just, like, so basic. It's a very cool and interesting multiverse, inspired in some ways by sci-fi, but also by Christian mythology and theology.
Wait, there's a Christian multiverse?
Dude, you're not gonna understand Iron Man 3 if you haven't read both the New Testament and
Psalms.
The Old Testament.
Remember when Jesus 7 came back to save Jesus 3 before he went up on the cross?
Yeah. Dude, when Doctor Strange cast all those portals and all the Jesuses came running out from all the different multiverses, dude. Oh, yeah. Chills, bro.
And then he could pick up the hammer and then hit the
Yeah,
he
was all like, apostles, assemble. Dude, it was so fucking so good, dude.
When Thanos snapped and killed half the Jesuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like half the apostles.
Half of Jesuses, yeah.
Yeah. Saint Peter is like dissolving into dust in the arms of Judas. He's like,
yeah. No, dissolving
into would be rocks. Tony Stark, right? He's the Who? Guilty one. Judas would be Tony Stark. He's the guilty one.
What is Tony Stark guilty of?
It's
Endgame.
The whole thing is like his arc. He like creates the robot and kind of sets everything into motion by making the Iron Man suit. He's like trying to redeem himself for making all those weapons that the U.S. sold to terrorists.
Right? Yeah, who's the Ant-Man of the Bible? Who's the Paul Rudd?
Yeah, who climbs into Thanos' butt?
Yeah.
Who's
the guy who gets swallowed by the whale? Because that's the
Jonah.
Whale story.
Jonah.
Yes.
Jonah.
Yeah.
He got swallowed by the butthole, yeah.
Is that in the Bible? Is Jonah, or is that like an Aesop fable or whatever?
I don't know.
I think it's in the Bible.
I think it's in the Bible, too, yeah.
You look that up. We'll continue with the episode.
And then the whale Bible verse. Here we go. Oh, there's perfect. A VeggieTales about it. It's from the book of Jonah, 1:15. Then the ocean miraculously became calm. God rescues Jonah from drowning by providing a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights.
I thought it was a prison. It's a taxi.
No, yeah, you're thinking of Pinocchio.
Never not thinking of Pinocchio. So I won't be covering things in the order you encounter them in game. I'm going to be moving things around a bit to just not like steal the sequence of the entire video game that you should go out and play, at least in my opinion.
Sure.
At the center of every parallel world is a location called the Everfall. This connects all of them. It is an infinite tower with neither a top nor a bottom. And if one were to jump into the Everfall and not land on any other realm, universe, or dungeon,
they would ever fall.
You loop back and start over. This is a very confusing sequence in the video game that has no direction whatsoever. You just jump in and fall forever, and it takes a little bit of time for you to realize, at least for me, to realize, like, oh no, you need to, like, belly flop and crash onto these different dungeon levels to find, like, the keys to unlock a way to proceed. We've talked about the game before, and I think we all recommend it in some capacity. Outward is a more vague indie version of Dragon's Dogma, but it's a gamer-ass game. There's a ton of figuring shit out as you go, and it's frankly the best part.
Like, I gotta get off WoW and finally play that with friend of the show Bobby. He's been begging us to go help him in that game.
Me too. I keep finding some new. He keeps asking. I keep finding some other fucking stuff to do. I know it's so bad. Where was I here? Excuse me. Yes.
The Everfall.
Right. The Everfall and every universe within it or connected to it, right? I guess within is the complete wrong word. The Everfall and every universe that is connected to it is overseen, according to the faith, the local church, by the Maker. It's a monotheistic religion in this area, sharing the same name from a game that came out 4 years prior to it with Dragon Age, where the Maker is also their monotheistic god.
They announced the new one.
We got our sixth round of JPEGs. Woo, that game's real and coming out. Like, I don't fucking think so, buddy. So after rejecting a deal with the Great Dragon and killing it, the player character, whose specific role we'll get into later, discovers that the Everfall underneath is actually underneath the capital of Grantis, the city of Grand Sorin. And after killing the dragon, the Everfall kind of opens up and consumes a massive chunk of the city, presumably killing thousands of people in the process.
I have two questions about what you just said.
Sure.
One, is there a pope in the game?
Yes.
Is his name Pope Grantis?
No.
Okay.
Pope Grantis the third?
That was two questions, but I have a third question. Is the dragon voiced by Luigi?
Google it.
Okay.
Maybe.
I will. It's probably
because of Skyrim, Parthenax, Mario, Charles Martinet. I got you.
That's of course. Okay.
Just checking.
Yeah. We're talking about games from a decade ago, I guess.
And while we're here. You visit the Everfall fairly early in the game. There's like a side quest there. It's a very standard dungeon at this time. You don't really realize the significance of what it does, what it stands for, and what its function is until it swallows chunk of the city and kills a bunch of people, and then
is to swallow a chunk of the city and kill a bunch of people.
It's the one thing it does, so we can infer that is its purpose.
I was holding the dang blueprints upside down like this. I thought it was gonna spit out a bunch of city.
That's not how dynamite blueprints would work.
You put dynamite upside down, you get a bigger mountain. Oh no, Jamie.
That was the fucking cat, man. I'm trying to jumped onto the table, but jumped on the edge of the table so it tilted for a second.
She's vibing. At least she's not barking like your goddamn dog.
Well, I like my dog better. Thank you very much.
So within the Everfall, like I said, there are multiple side dungeons with stronger versions of monsters you fought on the surface that cannot be fought anywhere else. So, Ethan, you had mentioned fighting the Chimera 1,000 times. There are like black furred Chimeras within the Everfall that have new powers and new abilities and like kind of dark, corrupted versions of every monster, every big monster, at least, in the game. As far as I know, the only place you can encounter Evil Eyes, Beholder, TMs, is within the Everfall.
In the tower.
I got the achievement for killing one the first time I went into the Everfall, post-game. So I did not encounter one out in the wild, next to, some corn farm somewhere.
Sure.
Everfall,
we don't know yet why there's dark monsters in it.
They're from other universes. They're part of parallel universes.
Just the monsters seep through. It's like a sieve that only lets monsters through. Or do you see other stuff when you go to those like when you go to those levels, do you see other stuff from other worlds, or is it just like, nope, just another room with monsters?
Yeah, it's not used to its fullest extent. There are two things, one of which we're going to get into now.
It's like the pools in Narnia, in Prince Caspian. You could go into like this hub world that has like a million puddles, and depending on what puddle you jump in, you go into a different world. One of them being like the lion with Aslan and like the Wicked Witch or the whatever. But you can jump in another pool and you'll be in a
yeah, the lion
other
is little ruby slippers and shit, whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Who is also
Jesus
in the multiverse. Yeah, there is the time when Aslan 7 saved Aslan 3 from the Wicked Witch of the Winter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Jamie loves Narnia and has mentioned to me on several road trips he would love to cover it as a multi-parter someday. So patrons, everybody crunch at him.
Yeah.
It's just a big one. It's hard to get to a good place to start, but
his address is in the show notes regardless. So
yeah. Thank you.
Stigmata, more like stigma talons into your flesh, witchy.
You can't crucify a cat. Their arms, I don't think they go out wide enough.
There's plenty of ways to crucify a cat.
Aww.
The old saying.
He just put Aslan into air jail. You hold him up and he's like, can't do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You crucify them by the back of the neck and they just go like docile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What? You just put
a nail like right above their head.
Pin. Yeah. Just,
right through the
Longinus after 3 days or whatever feels bad for the lion and just like hits it with a spear.
Yeah.
If a lion's attacking you and you like with all your might pinch the back of his neck, do you think you're gonna get the kitten response?
No, not a chance in hell. One,
my might? No, definitely not. Yeah. Maybe a stronger man.
Yeah.
Might.
it you would look like you were trying to rip up a carpet with your bare hands, right? Just like like all that like stretchy cat skin on the back.
If you got that close, you've taken a couple swipes already, I'm sure. But I wonder if what would happen if they had that same reaction.
Yeah. Hey Siri, look up live leak videos of people trying to tame lions.
No.
Some guy could rip the pieces. So one monster that is not fought anywhere else within the Everfall is a monster called the Ur-Dragon. Meaning first or original, suggests that the undead dragon within the Everfall was the first to have ever existed in any universe. I did not get to fight this thing, because one problem I do have with Dragon's Dogma is that after you beat the game, quit to go do fucking something else, and then come back, load game, just puts you into New Game Plus without asking. So I restarted the game. Very cool UI UX, guys. Very cool.
This game's old though, right? Like
Yeah.
Okay. It's from the Dark Ages, right? It's like it was a PS3 game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I played it on Xbox 360.
Yeah. Exactly. That era. Some force, perhaps even death itself, who you can fight in the DLC, and I did fight. It's one of those fights you have to lose the first time. Like you cannot kill it in the first time you encounter it on Bitter Black Isle. Brought this thing back, and this may have caused massive issues with kind of the cyclical nature of things. The Everfall being a loop is a theme that we're going to go into with pretty much everything. You'll notice a lot of things loop back in on themselves.
Yep.
Reviving a dragon that had been previously slain, which is really the whole purpose the thing fucking exists in the first place, maybe threw things off kilter. Like I said, I didn't get to fight it. Gameplay-wise, the fight is supposed to be, like, passive co-op, where if all three of us were playing Dragon's Dogma at the same time fighting the Ur-Dragon, the server would, like, calculate all the damage each of us was doing, and it would go into a shared health bar that is stored somewhere.
Cool.
Everything I read says, like, the Ur-Dragon has too much HP for a single person to kill. And it's pretty cool. They did recycle this into Monster Hunter World with the Siege quests, which were Kulvei Tarath and Safi Jiva, for anybody out there who liked Monster Hunter World. These were in a 4-player co-op game, 16-player instances where you only saw 4 people at a time, but would all take down from a cumulative health pool. They've since removed this feature since the Monster Hunter servers are in maintenance mode, so you can just do it with 4 dudes and they, whatever, reduce the health by 75%, but it's a cool thing that they've done multiple times. Like I said, I didn't get to fight it. I don't know if it has a billion HP now in single player because the servers are fucking off. But
yeah, I was gonna say like it's one of those like really cool ideas for the first 6 months of the game, and then as a responsible developer, I feel like you have to just be like, cool, yeah, now anybody you can just play it on your own. don't need to worry about an active community for this game.
Anyway. Okay, I said this already. Dragons, excuse me, as you can imagine, are a central part of this world's mythos. According to Capcom's official lore, dragons do not appear on any kind of fixed schedule. There is no dragon season where, like, the king's men can rally and prepare for its invasion, build up castles, board up the walls, whatever, hide all the golden princesses that they might want to steal, shit like that.
Not like
hire Dennis Quaid to kill Sean Connery.
Not like real life where we have, you know, winter, spring, Dragonia, summer, fall, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you, winter around here really does Dragonia.
It does. So sometimes a dragon will dragons will recur like over the course of decades, sometimes it's centuries. All people really have to go on, the only kind of forecast you can get for dragon season is that like other monsters become more numerous and aggressive when one is probably about to arrive.
The animals are always the first to know.
Exactly. The low pressure system sets in, the three little spoons on the rotating thing starts going around, mm-hmm. and then all the dogs and the goblins freak out. And then that's when you know it's dragon season, baby.
Your dog picks up and runs outside. There's probably a dragon in your front yard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is sounding a lot like Skyrim, by the way. This is just kicking dragons down the time hole for them to come back later, and the world gets kind of crazy when the dragon's around. So Hod Tower, I think you did steal it. But
there is
this came out after
it did.
This came out after Skyrim, though. Yeah, so they.
Yeah,
if
but
anything,
it's a time loop, man.
Oh shit! So that's right. They're in the Everfall. Todd Howard found the Everfall.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I've seen into my own future. I'm gonna hype up the most boring game ever made. I can't wait. Signora. Quiet down.
Oh, that was the cat just tried to climb.
Is there
a
dragon outside, Jamie?
No, there's a broom there, and the cat tried to climb the broom onto the
piano
and
your shelf, really.
Completely wiped out and woke up the dog. I'm telling you,
my store in piano. That's where I keep all my tackle and rods.
Yeah, my grocery bag, my
guys, I told you, I have to empty my kitchen because the exterminator's coming in the morning. My life, I'm very stressed. And this cat's not helping.
So after Jamie's dog is done barking at the sky, a massive portal will open, and out of it pours various flying monsters like harpies and gargoyles. Then finally, the dragon comes through, kind of curled up as though it would be inside an eggshell or like in the shape of a meteor. And shortly after kind of arriving within the atmosphere, it will awaken, take flight, and begin to wreak havoc on the land. I posted a screenshot I took earlier in game of the dragon and my character. You guys can open up. I should be glowing green. That's the correct screenshot. He is a very, very cool looking dragon. Very much
using the episodes to make us look at his character. I knew it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Drip check for my for Joan of Arc, my Dragon's Dogma Crusader lady that I made.
I could shield.
Yeah. Thank you. Got like it's a Diablo 2 paladin kind of look with your horned helm and like big, huge kite shield.
Yeah, I fucked around with some of my the multi classes that they have in the game. There's 9 classes, I believe, and they all kind of overlap, like strength, dex, magic, and then there's like a strength magic, strength, dex, all that sort of stuff. I played the Mystic Knight, which is
did you play mouse and keyboard?
No.
Okay, because it just says 1 light attack, 2 jump, 4 heavy attack, and then
the challenge of playing this game on his PC. Cell phone. Yeah, exactly. I have a TV. I have your mother's satellite remote that I'm playing this fucking game on. So this game has native controller support. Very cool. And
well,
like
it's a console game originally.
And an X input wrapper. But it like predates the PS4 and the X-Bone, where you could just plug a fucking controller into your computer. So okay. This is like the Logitech buttons. So the first thing you do when you install Dragon's Dogma, when you're like, I'm going to play a third-person fantasy game with a controller, like an adult, mm-hmm. is figure out what buttons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, map, 14 dude. Are.
Yeah.
So that's the first rune to discover. On the PlayStation controller, it starts at square. Square is 1, X is 2, so it goes around from there.
And counterclockwise then, starting on the left.
Yeah.
Starting at 9.
Yeah. Okay. So 4, heavy attack is triangle. And then the triggers are all pretty self-explanatory, but yeah. 1, 2, a blank 3, which is circle. And 4 was very confusing, but frankly, like, the amount of games I play with a PS4 controller that don't have PS4 icons, I know or just know where the buttons is, yeah. right? Like,
yeah, you're a gamer. No one's trying to take that away from you, Peter.
There's no A button.
We're not attacking you here, but.
You're coming at me for my configurations. So while dragons are entirely capable of ending the world and have certainly destroyed several countries and kingdoms, they've never actually ended life as we know it. The fact that the dragons are clearly intelligent has led people to believe there is some kind of purpose to their attacks. So, to break with one of my traditions here, I do have a quote from a character called the Dragonforged, who I'll talk about later on, and he states, "The beast is called Death Incarnate, the greatest of evils. You will learn when you come to face it that the truth is not so simple. It possesses deep insight to match its cold and steady drive to destruction, and an air of resignation, perhaps, lies beneath its imposing rage." The dragon's kind of intelligence and the fact that it seems to be doing something has led, thankfully, to the formation of apocalyptic doomsday cults, who welcome and worship the dragon, just hoping that this time it ends the fucking world, man. This time it's gonna do it, and we don't need the flavor aid. I keep moving the goalposts, but here it is. This is the one. This is the dragon. The cult we face off with in-game is called Salvation. I don't think it's a stretch to spoil the fact that they are completely fucking wrong, and there's a pretty humorous end to that whole thing. They also fuck with necromancy, which is no bueno. Each dragon, over time, after it's gotten bored with eating livestock, taking treasure, and kidnapping princesses, will eventually retreat to a good old-fashioned dragon lair, high in the mountains, in a massive cave, or on a castle that it has taken over. Yeah, so it's also the other problem with Dragon Season is the fact that the amount of time it is going to be destroying things is also unpredictable, because despite the fact that there is a cycle that is being followed here, every dragon is in some capacity unique, despite the fact it always appears looking and kind of sounding the same. The dragon, after getting bored and sitting around, will now simply wait for as long as it has to, maybe even forever. But we're going to get into why and for whomst after the break.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for sitting through the break. So the dragon is waiting for a warrior that it itself has created, and that warrior is the one that I mentioned earlier, the Arisen. You, the gamer.
Warrior. Gotcha. I thought you said yeah. War. I was like, what war did you say was created?
No, warrior. It's like Toronto. There's a bunch of different, there's a bunch of extra R's in there that I just kind of skipped over, right?
Okay. So sorry, what's created the Arisen? The dragon?
Yeah.
Why'd he do that?
Upon arrival. Mean the Dagon, like in Toronto.
Toronto, yeah. Dragon Dogma. So upon arrival, after getting tax-free booze at the duty-free, the dragon, named Grigori, apparently, in Dragon's Dogma, will choose a human it considers worthy, pluck out their heart, and consume it, linking them together and creating an arisen. I went to the Wikipedia page for the name Grigori or Gregory to see is this a Bible thing? Is this like a reference to death or the apocalypse or revelations or whatever? The first paragraph on Wikipedia states the masculine first name Gregory or Grigori, derived from the Latin name Gregorius, which came from the late Greek name Gregorios, meaning watchful or alert, is derived from Egidio, meaning to awaken or arouse. So it does awaken the arisen's power and maybe arouse them in some capacity, depending on what they're into, right?
Yeah, to have a, you know, be into scalies.
Yeah, if a kilometer-long dragon eating your heart is your thing, absolutely, Grigori is
right. I can feel right? Something arising in me.
The arisen is special in that they can summon and command pawns, which are human-like mercenaries from outside time and space. When you start Dragon's Dogma, you create two characters, you and your primary companion, and then you get to summon two additional ones that back when this game had servers, you could download from other players. But now the game supplies you with a constant supply of pawns of various classes from the game with different equipment as you level up. Your summon pawns do not level up at all. So you cannot keep the same three forever. Your guy levels up at the exact same rate as you, the one you created. The two that you hire need to be replaced constantly.
Okay.
And you need to spend a special currency called Rift Crystals to summon one that is above your level. I don't know what the fucking exchange rate is on that shit, because, again, there are no servers. So yeah, I was always kind of on par at all time, and someone at or below your level is free.
You know how we're talking about dragons? Did you guys see that post that Magnus made about Smaug from The Hobbit? And how much money he had.
I would be like the 54th richest person in the United States.
He has 51.4 billion, but he'd only be the 15th wealthiest person in the States. Yeah. So there's 14 people more rich than a gold hoarding dragon.
My God.
Nice.
Capitalism, baby.
More things change, the more they stay the same. Honestly, fucking, what's his name? Larry Fink would destroy Lake Town and then just be like, well, no, we're going to rebuild it. Which was the CEO of BlackRock.
Yeah.
That parasitic real estate company.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, a pawn, they look human. Again, they're not a separate race of like fantasy creatures. They all look human and for all intents and purposes are. Except they do not age, they cannot die, and they exist in a place called the Rift. It's not exactly the void. You can take a half drink, take a little sip through your teeth if you have to. They straddle the line between time and space and can be summoned only by an arisen. There are pawns kind of wandering the countryside, which you can hire, but they have no master, meaning they're kind of purposeless. They go around. If you get attacked near one, they will fight back, but they're not, you know, they have no real command. They have no free will, which is another thing that happens, is like a theme that comes up at the end of the game, is that you as the player have free will, and you can break the cycle.
Do you, though? You didn't have the free will to not start a new game.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, damn.
Got him.
The layers go so deep.
But also, like, with a name like Pawn, yeah, of course, they're just... Yeah. Literally used just as your little fighters in the front, meant to be disposed of, and they're not supposed to have something like Free Willy, who can jump over a whole rock bank to get back.
Well, that's an illegal move, right? Yeah. Like the whale piece is the one that goes in the arc,
right?
Instead of the L or diagonally, right?
Yes, exactly. Remember when Jonah got swallowed by Free Will and then got.
So for the pawns, this is a really cool kind of like canonizing. It's a single player game with like passive co-op, right? When the servers were live, you would take your pawn throughout the world on quest with you. You can't dismiss it. And it will learn parts of quests, and every time you rest at a inn, its memory data was uploaded to the server, and if anyone ever downloaded your pawn, it would give them hints
Oh,
that's cool. What to do next in the quest.
How to complete the quest.
Learning so cons. Wow.
Yeah, which was a really cool thing, right? And it was like a very interesting like system, which sadly is completely lost now. Like, you need to play in offline mode. Because now, if you play in online mode, which I learned the hard way, you have to sit there for like 8 minutes while the game tries to contact the servers that no longer exist. and then it's just like, oh yeah, we couldn't contact it. Check your internet connection. I'm like, I'm just going to set this to fucking offline.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with my connection. Unless my voice sounds all fucked up right now, then maybe. Yeah.
Unless your graphics card kicks in.
That was a different problem. Somebody else. I can't remember who.
Me neither. That's the old me, I'd say.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Old pre-health card, Jamie.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a new man. On a new PC. The laptop that has the problems, my cat throws on the ground regularly, teaches it how to behave.
So the pawns cannot actually die in the physical realm. They just get transported back to the rift if they get taken down, but they will return with their memories intact. And I was thinking about this. It's like, damn, you think like dying 1,000 deaths in various ways would maybe give them psychological damage to the point where they couldn't like get a gun in somewhere with like a red flag law? But turns out, don't worry guys, the pawns, it's completely like, you can spit on them. It's morally correct, sort of thing. Like they have like no fucking right. It's a very weird thing, but it's like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's just like,
yeah, I mean, that's very much like peeling back the layers of the onion too far, right? Where it's they created this pawn system to let you have summons in the game. That's fine. And they're like, cool, let's go a step further and have them be like, oh, they can learn the quest that you
let's
go
canonize
on.
The multiplayer too,
right? Yeah, exactly. And then like, that's all good and fun. And then you just kind of leave it at a certain point, right? You have to. You can't just keep going forever. And then it's like, well, what happens when they just die all the time? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they forget every time they're resurrected. There's like this point where they're in their own Everfall, just screaming in horror. But
exactly.
They forget when they're resurrected.
If I don't resurrect him for like a half hour, is that 1,000 years in his mind? Like, what the fuck is it? What is going on? But no, they're very much like the G-Man from Half-Life. Outside of time and space, I don't think they know.
Yeah,
I choose. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's like, do lobsters feel pain? It's like they thrash around a lot when you put them in the pot, but I can't ask them, so I guess not. Right?
You know, speaking of spitting on your enemies, they took that out a while. You can't spit on people anymore. It just says spits on the ground. You're not allowed to target. Yeah, because
we're woke liberals.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, exactly. It's so dumb.
So the Arisen are not singular entities within their universe. Throughout Doggins Drogma, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. I met two within the same world. Duke of Grancis, Edmund Dragonsbane, and the ancient monk named the Dragonforged, who I had mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we've seen this picture because your pictures are out of so.
Are they?
I'm pretty sure it's the guy in the blue is the Duke of Grancis, I'm guessing, and the guy in the white robes is the monk, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's third before your screenshot of you and the dragon. Just
I wasn't gonna call it out, but
you got it at this point.
My brain is just smooth as a fucking bowling ball when it comes to certain things. I just can't post photos in the correct order. I don't understand it.
He even took his own screenshot.
Yeah, I think it's probably honestly the speed that you upload at. Like, I'm going to guess.
Oh, they're different sizes. Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's different sizes. So you posted this one after, but it's a smaller size because it's not just a screenshot of your game file. So,
of course, yeah. Anyway. I mean, that's I could just be a fucking idiot.
I want to call you out because you even said at the beginning when you started telling us to. I wouldn't have called it out if you didn't say at the beginning.
I'm
like,
trying.
Well, I definitely got him right this time. So.
Yeah, I'm trying. Okay. I did not account for my internet. I'm assuming I'm just a dumb bastard, but yeah, upload speed, whatever that means. Sure, dude. The Dragonforged is the last known living man who can still read the Draconic language. He helps you along in your quest. And the Arisen does not appear... not you, the player. This is the kind of the royal
the
Arisen.
Arisen.
Yes, exactly. The Arisen do not appear to age at all after the moment the dragon steals their heart. But in like Dorian Gray fashion, when the current dragon in the realm is killed, you have to take on the age debt. all at once, basically.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, oh. So the Dragonforged, being possibly thousands of years old, just fucking turns to dust and blows away. And the Duke of Grancis immediately turns into a very old man. I read things saying that he basically goes from, like, handsome Chad mid-40s from when he slayed the dragon to, like, a 90-year-old man. At the end of the game, when you go to see him and be like, I did the hero's journey and defeated the dragon, he is like a psychotic old man who tries to kill you, and it's a very sad, weird quest where you can't really kill him because you can't just beat an old man to death, and then he tries to have you arrested, and that leads into the post-game, which is, it's such an interesting way to tell a very normal fantasy story in a very normal setting, is for, like, oh, did you think beating the final boss was the end of the game? Sorry, idiot. Here's all the crazy fantasy shit that we imagined and, like, just, like, jammed here at the end.
Yeah.
Me, personally, I think it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, kind of flipping the apple cart sort of thing here. Right. So now that we're getting into major spoiler territory, I want to go over the multiple endings of the game that I got and kind of, I don't know, speculate on my experience based on, like, the lore that I read and also what occurs in the endings that I got here. Just because, like, they are all technically canon, despite the fact every single one of them except one will show you a cutscene and just be like, wasn't that cool? It was the wrong one. And then you just have to hit load game and it takes you back to a checkpoint.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think it's neat that they have, like, a cutscene for all these fail states. Like, it's a very neat thing to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I know Nier Automata did it later.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah, where, yeah. In the first 5 seconds of that game, if you uninstall your health bar, it just kills you, and then it's just like, yep, that's one ending. It's the story goes that Tubi fucking killed herself right away. Like, that's what were you gonna say, Jamie? Sorry.
No, I was gonna dunk on you. It kind of passed. I can still do it if you want. Bobby didn't get all the fail states. He just got the one ending right away.
Yeah. I was trying shit. I want to see what would happen. Fucking Bobby, so much better Bimmy Obame than I am. So the first and easiest ending to get is when the dragon offers you a Faustian bargain, kind of giving him his, you know, his rank as both, like, destroyer and trickster. He's like, he's the Christian devil in this instance, where he's arrived, he's fallen from the sky, he's basically a fallen angel.
It's Chris Angel's on fucking nemesis. Christian devil.
Christian devil. Would he do better magic or worse magic?
Different magic. I'd
just say. Like a 3-card Monty kind of wizard?
Yeah, I don't know.
What did Chris Angel do? Like, he did stunts, didn't he?
He had like a car drive over him.
He was the mind freak.
Yeah.
He had a car drive over him. You do, yeah. He was kind of like David Blaine. Like Lane, that you would actually just train for things and then do
life
crazy
in
stuff.
Blaine Lane.
Life in the fast Blaine. Yeah. Well, anyways, Christian Devil, what about him?
Yes, excuse me. He offers you a Faustian bargain. Before fighting him, he will ask you to sacrifice your beloved, and in return, he will use his immense power to either magically or politically through lobbying install you as the immortal Duke of Grancis. This kind of explains, just like, hey, wait a second, the Duke? Is this guy, this king, is his reign not legitimate?
Is this a mortal king? Did he get it through ill-gotten means?
Yeah, exactly.
Dragon's Dogma, Duke of Grancis, dog. What is going on here?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I doubt the Japanese people that wrote this thought of that. That's good.
Duke of Grancis, Mark Arisen.
Yeah, right. Yep.
So this is pretty funny. He will offer to sacrifice. You can sacrifice your beloved to him. In exchange, he'll make you Duke. I did not do the romance side quest because I don't particularly like romance side quests in games anymore. I find them very weird for some reason.
Also single in real life. Yeah.
Also that. I don't want to waste all my empathy. Otherwise, I'll get weird.
Fucking got him.
I am too, I mean.
Fair enough, actually, yeah. Oh my god. At time of recording, Yeah, so when the dragon was just like, I will sacrifice, you may sacrifice your beloved, and I will give you the power over Grancis. For my character, it was just some guy. No fucking idea who that NPC was. They don't interact with each other. Your character doesn't speak. The player character has like animated expressions and cutscenes, but you don't actually choose voice.
Like a voice, yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's all text. So they like look at each other, and after like testing that out, and you get the cutscene where you become Duke, and then it goes to like, okay, reload checkpoint, dude. You got greedy.
Yeah,
it just like goes.
You gave up Marv? Really? Come on, yeah, man.
Exactly.
Come on, don't you love Marv?
It was like some guy in a tabard. You don't actually interact when you choose to fight the dragon. He like thrashes around and starts knocking down all the ruins around you, and then like ruins block you off. And then some guy looked at my character and was like the like furrows his brow and nods at me, and then my character does the same back to him, and it was like so fucking funny to me that complete strangers are just like, yeah, I got you. I'll see you at home. Like, who the fuck is... It's like straight up at the 11th hour, Poochie just like shows up and he's just like, I'm a radical dude. You're like, I gotta save Poochie from the fucking dragon. Basically, he's the dog from The Simpsons.
Oh. Homer voices a dog in the...
Yeah, sorry.
Cartoon within a cartoon, Itchy and Scratchy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And when they kill him off, it's just like, and then Poochie left for his home world.
Yeah. They don't even animate him floating up into the air. You can like see the perforated edge of like the cell sheet like go up in three frames. So my boyfriend Poochie, I did have to save him and then fight and kill the dragon. My guess is that it was like the quest giver that I did the most quests for. There is a side quest where you can romance and like have a like a love affair with the Duke's, even though he is, you know, 90 years old and still looks young. The Duke's wife in game is concerningly young, very accurate to the time period.
Yeah.
and she's into you, the Arisen. And there is there's a quest line you can follow for that one. I did it when I was younger, when I played it on PS3. Not this time.
Younger and lustier.
Yeah, exactly. And singular. Because this is a pretty normal thing. But yeah, I didn't do it this time. Presumably she would be the person there. If I'd done the creep quest of just like, if I had groomed her with good intentions, opposed to just like unifying two countries or whatever. right, where am I? So after his defeat, there's a very cool boss fight with the dragon. He has multiple health bars that coincide with multiple stages of the fight. They kind of change. You get to ride him. There's different arenas that you fight him in. It's a very good, very cinematic with good combat, like a good balance of interactive and passive gameplay that I really, really enjoyed. After his defeat, the dragon returns your heart, stating that your life is now yours and that you have won a future for this world, but that future is not known, basically like gifting you free will at this point. You are no longer bound to the dragon. You are no longer bound to the video game, because after this instant, a lot more endings to the game open up, basically. Him too, the dragon, just like the dragon forged, the millennia-year-old Arisen from earlier, after the dragon dies, in quotes, he also like turns gray. He's very standard, a very cool-looking, very standardly designed red dragon. He turns gray and kind of just blows away in the wind, leaving behind no bones, nothing. Just like,
okay,
yeah, ashes to ashes sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. No elephant skull, to be confused for a cyclops.
No, exactly. I wish he had left behind just like some other clumsy Victorian paleontology bullshit that like
What if his skull just like had two eye slots and like the markings of what would look like a trunk, and then they're like, oh, like, that's an elephant skull,
the reverse.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a dragon skull.
Look at the size of that elephant, huh?
And that's how Dumbo and the wings thing all started. And anyways, yeah.
Oh, Dumbo was bad Victorian paleo art is what Charles Marsh thought a dragon looked like.
Yeah, Dragon's Dumbo 2 coming out soon.
Oh, I forgot to open my artwork notepad here. I'm writing that down. Right. The final gift he gives you before disintegrating is a dagger called the God's Bane. Gonna bury the lead here. Equipping the dagger early allows you to kill yourself with it. Once again, giving you a short cutscene of your character just fucking killing themselves and the game being like, cool, you broke the cycle. Load checkpoint because you're not done. Like, you're not canonically supposed to die at this point. If you manage to quest through the Everfall, so the Everfall opens up after killing the dragon, you will eventually find yourself in the Seneschal's Chamber. I had to look up the term. A Seneschal is a important medieval figure, kind of like a governor.
Like an advisor, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they're in charge of like a part of land. They're not like a hereditary monarch. Like
I know how that's spelled because I've killed enemies that are Seneschals, probably in WoW somewhere.
Steward or major domo of a medieval great house.
Major domo executus. Remember him? That's another guy.
Is he a naga?
He is a naga. Yep. But he gets all mixed up with the molten core business.
Major domo is not his name. It's his title.
Oh.
Yeah.
Executus is
I know there's a furniture store in Quebec called iDomo. And they had a guy with a funny voice who was riding an elephant in their commercials. And every time I hear Major Domo, I just...
You mean a cyclops.
Yeah, you sure it wasn't a cyclops?
I think it might have been a cyclops.
Look, I'm not a paleontologist. I don't know what the fuck it was.
iDomo, singular iDomo.
iDomo, not two eyes.
Not eyes Domo.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Reconstructed poorly.
Yep.
So here in the Seneschal's Chamber, among the fog and clouds, you encounter the Arisen that you played as in the prologue and tutorial, fighting the Chimera, Ethan, named Savan. So he is one of the first guys to have killed a dragon at some point. You don't kill the dragon in the tutorial, but Savan is back and he is present. You guys can open up a picture that is in some random fucking order, obviously. He's the brunette guy with a cape on.
Whatever's left, basically.
Yeah, like a nice Templar cross on his chest.
Exactly. Very standard medieval-looking knight guy. Prior to your battle with him, he is willing to tell you anything you want to know, and he will explain exactly what the role of the Seneschal is. So I have another quote for you guys here.
It's a major domo.
Duh,
yeah, exactly. He's a major domo.
Skipping the medieval great house. Come on.
Yeah.
You know this shit.
Yeah, he's like, I astride the Cyclops. I sell cheap furniture to the Quebecois. And you're like, oh, that is a major domo. Okay, cool. The Seneschal is the steward to the world. The world you traveled now rests in your care. Just as the Arisen calls pawns into being and sets them into motion, the Seneschal holds dominion over all living things. There are those who would call such a being Maker or God. I cannot deny the claim, any more than I affirm it. In the end, they are but words. Call it what you will, such as the office I have served, just as those before me and you beyond, unto eternity. So you actually get to meet God. The singular figure that the church, the faith has been worshiping, is real and is an Arisen who has defeated the dragon in the past.
But wait, we have a dagger that's called God's Bane.
Ah,
I'm down with any game that lets you kill God at the end, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed 2, perfect game. You fight the Pope, kind of the same thing, at least similar, right? That's pretty good.
And the more that I was thinking about the major domo thing, domo is probably domicile, and major is probably like the rank within the home.
It's probably an old Italian, right?
Yeah.
So you're probably on the right track there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The final fight in the game is against the Seneschal and can lead to one more non-canon reload your checkpoint ending. You guys can open up, I guess, the final photo, which should just be like a robed man that made entirely out of light.
It's a glowing boy.
Exactly. If you get killed by the Seneschal, which in my case was in a single hit, it shows your Arisen falling through the clouds, becoming wreathed in light, and emerging on the other side of the portal as a new dragon. Every single dragon, at least since the Ur-Dragon, I'm not sure where that one came from, Loreboy's canon, has been an Arisen who has failed to kill God. If God kills you, you go back to Earth as the dragon. You choose the guy who's going to kill you, and then if he can't kill God, he goes back as another dragon.
Wow.
So the entire universe is a cycle. Yeah, and the cutscene of transforming into a dragon, again, is a lot of budget just put into, please reload your checkpoint and kill God. Like, this is the wrong ending.
That's cool. I'm going to play this game, I think. Sounds cool.
It's great. Really, really. Like, I loved it. Like, I wouldn't cover it if I didn't like it, right? Like, there's a reason you don't get fucking Halo anymore, right? Pete's not into it. Unless, of course, you manage to defeat the Seneschal, then you can finally use the Godsbane Blade. You stab yourself in your heart, and you've retreated from the dragon, you have killed God, and the Godsbane Blade severs the connection that the Arisen has to the cycle of the universe, and gives your pawn, your main pawn at least, a little bit of free will, kind of freeing it from its weird outside of time.
Gives them all the memories of all the times.
Yeah, screaming. They'll come roaring back and turn him into a psychopath.
Turns into dust, yeah.
Moves to a cabin in the woods and starts like sending letter bombs to universities. It's just like, oh, 1,000 deaths really did drive him fucking crazy. And anyway, there is still a post-game. Defeating God and then using the Godsbane Blade does allow you to live, at least until you hit load game again and go into New Game Plus and start the cycle anew. But it also kind of, again, like they canonized the multiplayer with the pawn system and the rift. The New Game Plus, when this is a thing that friend of the show Bobby had told me, New Game Plus does not scale to your level. I started that game at level 55 in a level 1 zone. You are very much starting the cycle anew. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I'm sure I could get through the fucking base game in 10 hours.
Or you killed God, I guess. That's kind of cool.
Way too over level. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think originally this may have been, you know, maybe they didn't plan on releasing Dragon's Dogma 2 12 fucking years ago because they were like, well, no, you use the magic sword to kill God and then yourself, and that ends the cycle, so don't worry about it. I don't know what the explanation for a dragon being present in Dragon's Dogma 2 is going to be. The multiverse is kind of a crutch for writing.
Yeah, or capacity. What if there wasn't one god? Then what if there was another god, and now we have to go kill that god?
We still don't know the Ur-Dragon's deal either, right?
Ur-Dragon?
I mean, I don't, just because I didn't beat it and didn't want to... You know, I guess talk about a thing I didn't have any experience with. The wiki page was also very short, so there was no speculation I could put on top of it without actually seeing any cutscenes or killing the thing myself. Because if it has a billion HP, I'd still be playing the game, and, you know, I put it down 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because my primary weapon does 900 damage, so it'll take me a while.
Take a
while. But yeah. That was Dragon's Dogma. I loved the game. I'm looking very forward to the second one. I hope this has set you up for it if you don't have the time or the money to play through the first one right now. It's great. It was a lot of fun. Great style, great combat, great all around, good game. I have been your host, Peter O'Donoghue. You can find me at Lore Bars Podcast on Instagram or follow the link to Discord down below. I'm not around much, but if you tag me, I will reply and say hello and we can chat a little bit. Come say hi. Fellas.
Yeah, Jimbo.
Jim Bob John Miller here. You can find me in the Discord. Thank you so much we got a couple boosts this week from some new folk, like Sadric, and someone I can't find by scrolling up quick enough at the moment, but thank you so much for those. If you want to keep in touch with us, that's the best place to do it. I'm chatting
Rondo. We got Rondo here.
Nice.
And College of Vanity.
Thank you all for helping us keep our status. Now we have a nice like 5 or 6 boost lead on losing our earls, so it's very nice. We're a little bit comfortable now.
Well, thanks to you.
Yep, you make us comfortable. So yeah, just come hang out there. I'm constantly chatting about WoW and community gaming. Some people in the server are in my guild and like actively playing with me and stuff. I think they're gonna join some raids and stuff coming up soon, like Magnus and Bryce and stuff like that. So yeah, if you want to hang out directly with us or get contact to us and be part of the community, discord.gg/LOREBOYS lore boys, you know where to find it.
Yeah, and patrons, if you want to become a patron, patreon.com/theloreboys. Patrons get access to a few extra channels called the Prime channels. Prime folks, kind of a chat room. There's Patron AMA, where Magnus asked us while we were recording, which of the 4 Chaos Gods would you follow if you had to pick one? To find out our answer, check out our Patreon. That's patreon.com/theloreboys.
I just checked. Ed Gein's belt is asking for hot dog facts. So Larry Hot Dogs invented hot dogs in 1936 when he dropped his prize-winning bag of pig assholes into his Dick Shaper machine. There's yours for this week. And I didn't read that. That is unfortunately memorized at this point.
Yeah. It is tattooed on Jamie's collarbone backwards so he could read it in the mirror.
And of course, for the people who don't trust Lore Boys Prime, we are always offer, or the people who don't trust Lore Boys Prime, there's still Lore Boys Prime, I guess. Learn to love it. Learn to trust it. We're not shady, I promise. If you want to help support the show via Lore Boys Prime, you can just probably get your pre-orders in now for our upcoming video game, Lore Town. It's going to be a fantasy open world sandbox with crafting and survival elements, and also a sci-fi multiverse campaign part of it as well. We're working with Todd Howard on it, so it should be out pretty soon, honestly. He's pretty excited about the whole thing and about all the marketing that we can do around it. So, you know, we got some of your favorite monsters from popular IPs. We've got flying lizards, what breathe stuff out their mouths. That's what we call them.
Yeah.
We've got
ectoplasms. Little... Every time you kill them, they split into two.
Yeah. We got
Big Elephant Man.
Yeah, we got Big Elephant Man. He's good. He's only got one eye. Pretty cool, Big Elephant Man. Yeah.
Oh, Horse Body Lady. Great.
Horse Body Lady. Yeah.
We have little people, not dwarves, not midgets, not, don't call them that. Call them
Madam Fishtail. She sings songs at sea, lures pirates, who we call sea robbers in this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Not pirates, sea robbers.
Yeah. We call them seas of thieves. I hope that's not taken.
We have the people who follow the king and they fight for the king in suits of armor. We call them days.
Yeah. Oh, we have Bat Landlord. He lives in a castle.
Yeah.
He drinks blood. He steals blood from poor people.
I think that would constitute Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.